Welcome, everyone, to the I'm About to Get a Vasectomy podcast.
Hey, congratulations. No more babies.
That's happening right now, actually.
Bend over. Sip,
sip. Live from the operating room.
All right, nurse, I need 10 milligrams of tequila, 5 milligrams of whiskey, and 2 doubles of Kraken.
I'll just take some crack. All right, I'm ready. Let's fucking go. Let's do this. Cut my balls out.
So that's not what we do, but okay.
For you, I'll make an exception.
Yep. All right. Welcome, everyone, to our podcast.
Hecate's Doorway Podcast.
Woo! I'm so just excited from seeing Suicide Boys.
Yeah, that's true. That was pretty fucking sick. Today, we are going to be... What?
We forgot to introduce ourselves.
Ah, yes, of course. Let's take it from the fucking top.
Over here.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Gabriel. We are your hosts today. Nice to meet you all.
Yes. Welcome to our Straight Edge podcast.
No, no, no. Only one of us is Straight Edge. That ain't me, folks. That ain't me. Keep going.
I'm sorry. Okay. So, what are we talking about today? Today, we are going to be talking about an unsolved mystery.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yes. Those are always fun. We haven't done one.
Yeah, in a very fat minute.
Yeah. We've been doing a bunch of serial killer shit.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about it. This one is called The Mystery of the Murder in Room 1046.
Ooh.
Ooh.
All right. So,
let's just
let's kick it off.
Yeah, let's just jump into it. On January 4th, 1935, a man who had checked into the Kansas City Hotel under the name Roland T. Owen was found dead in room 1046. A very odd series of events would take place over the 2 days Roland stayed in the hotel leading up to the murder, and even more odd set of events would take place after, making this case probably one of the oddest unsolved mysteries. While maybe not quite as gruesome as the Torso murders, or as haunting as the Black Dahlia murder, this is still an interesting case for its weirdness alone. So with that, let's get into the murder in room 1046. Yeah, you good over there?
Yeah, I'm just looking at this.
Yeah, all
right. Sorry, folks. I got distracted by a ticket.
Yeah, my live ticket I bought for the live stream
show. Even the ones they finally sent you after how long?
Oh, man. Well, I got the ticket and the lanyard maybe like a month or so after I bought it, and I never got the hoodie.
Just haven't got the hoodie?
I emailed them like 6 months ago. I was like, yo, it's been like a year. And they're like, oh, shit, well, just pick a different one.
Damn.
I was like, okay. Yeah, this one's gonna be weird. It's not really, like, gruesome and nasty. It's just weird.
Yeah.
That's gonna come later when I eventually get around to writing our script for the Black Dahlia one.
Fuck yeah.
That one's gonna be something else. Really fucking gross. All right. On January 2nd, Roland T. Owen would check into the Kansas City Hotel alone. He appeared to be anywhere between 20 and 35 years old, with a scar above his left ear and a cauliflower ear. The bellboy that showed Roland to his room, Randolph Propst, said he only packed a toothbrush, toothpaste, and a comb with him.
Mm.
Yeah, a cauliflower ear, for anyone who doesn't know, is just like a puffed-up ear.
Mm.
Like when you get punched in the ear really fucking hard.
Ow. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And only brought his toothbrush.
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 That's all you really need when you're traveling.
Yeah. You can do a lot of things with a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm. You can even sharpen it.
Yeah. You can do a little sounding with it. Clean it and bristle first.
Why?
I feel a little dirty down there.
We know you're dirty.
Not for long.
Ah. Fuck. Nope. Are we around 4 p.m., hotel maid Marie's Soptic?
Soap dick.
No fucking way. There's no fucking way that's how you say that name. Soap tick. That sounds like soap dick.
So, yes. It's S-O-P-T-I-C, but when you say it, it sounds like soap dick. which is a great name for a maid.
Oh, I feel sorry for that lady.
When you need some soap dick?
Timothy got bullied so much in school for that name.
Bring the soap over here, would you, soap dick?
Don't drop the soap. Don't do it around Mary.
She'll soap you up real good.
She came up to Ronald's room with fresh towels. When she entered the room, she found Ronald sitting in the bed, still in his full suit, with the room dimly lit. There was also no pad in the nightstand that read, "Dawn, I will be back in 15 minutes. Wait.
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 Wait."
No.
It's an exclamation point.
I saw that. Good job. Good job. Good job, Brandon.
I can read. I'll pass the fifth.
You're dyslexic as fuck. You can barely read.
Yeah, no, I can't fucking read for shit.
Don't worry, I can read for shit, and I'm not dyslexic. I'm just stupid. Around 10:30 the next morning, Septic returned to Ronald's room to clean it.
Say it right.
I am saying it right. Are you?
Soap dick.
Fuck you.
That's going straight from the Unsolved boys. That's how they said it.
Oh, good for them. Soap dick.
Yeah, not septic.
Hey. I'm Detective Soap Dick. I've been smoking for 30 years.
Yeah, this looks like a suicide. But his head's been chopped off.
Self-mutilation. I've seen it every time. Open and shut case, boys.
Lights five cigarettes.
No paperwork done tonight.
There's never any paperwork done under Detective Soap Dick.
The room was locked from the outside, so she assumed Ronald had left. But upon entering the room, she found him sitting in bed again, with all the lights off, which as he had been the previous night. As she cleaned the room, Ronald received a call to which he replied, "No, I'm not hungry. I just had breakfast." Repeating again, "No, I'm not hungry," before hanging up.
So, that's really fucking weird.
Yep. That's some interesting shit.
Imagine just walking in there and like, "All right, I'm going to get some towels in here." Dude's in full suit just sitting there in the dark.
Yep. Just, as one should.
Just like, as you should. And that call is just so weird. Like,
yeah, that was a weird ass. There's so many questions. Like, did he had that pre-recorded? So like, but why?
I don't know. Like, it almost sounds like code.
Yeah, but as for what though? Who the fuck knows?
Hey, no one does know because this is still unsolved, as all these fucking things are. Around 4, Septic returned to deliver more towels. As she stood outside his door, she heard two male voices inside the room. A deep voice called out from inside the room, "Who is it?" When she explained she was there to deliver fresh towels, the same voice answered back, "We don't need any," even though Soap Dick claimed they had no towels in the room at the time. It's kind of weird that the maids come in that often, isn't it?
Yeah, and the fact that they come in even when someone's still in there.
Yeah,
because really, normally they wouldn't.
No, it must be like, I mean, this is 35, so it must be like an old thing.
Yeah, it must have been before they redid their rules and whatnot.
Before people used hotels exclusively for beating off for a night. That same night, a woman staying in room 1048 claimed to hear both male and female voices shouting and cursing in one of the rooms on her floor, though that may have just been from a party in room 1055 going on that night. Party. That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
They include that for something we'll talk about later, but if there's a party going on in the same room, that's probably what you're hearing.
Yeah.
Do you think Soap Dick was in the party?
No, I don't think Soap Dick was in the party. Soap Dick was probably working.
That's what I mean.
I don't think so, Brandon.
Later that week, she turned in her resignation. I'm gonna go change my name.
I would have done so the moment I hit 18. Sometime around the 7 p.m. on the fourth floor, the phone operator noticed that
the fourth.
Oh, that's supposed to be a day?
Yeah.
Well, either way, they noticed that the phone in Ronald's room had been off the hook, so he sent props?
Propst. They have weird names back
the
then.
The fuck
dude.
Is a props?
That's the bellboy.
What?
I said it in the beginning. It was like Richard Propst or something.
Oh, that's his name. Sorry, I thought this was like an old timey word for a bellboy.
I mean, it could have been. They had weird ass fucking words back then.
True. Props up to the room to 1046. My bad. To see what was going on. Props approached the door, and even though there was a do not disturb sign hanging on the doorknob, he knocked. A low voice, much like the one Subtic heard on the night prior, said, "Come in, turn on the lights." But the door was locked, and no one got up to unlock it for him. So Props knocked again, saying, "Put the phone back on the hook," and left, assuming Ronald was drunk.
God, that's what I would just nope out of there if I was the bellboy.
Yep.
Come in, turn on the lights.
Not without security.
Just like, just put your phone back on, you drunk asshole. This one's just weird.
Yeah. But by 8:30, the phone had not been put back on the hook, and another bellboy, Harold Pike, was sent with a room key to go fix the problem. He let himself into the room without turning any lights on, only using the light from the hallway. He said he saw Ronald laying in bed, naked and seemingly drunk. Also noting the area in the bed under Ronald seemed darkened. He simply fixed the phone and returned.
That's gonna be a mistake.
Yeah, that sounds like he's dead and bleeding.
I don't blame him though. Like if I get told what the first guy had and he's like, "Here, go in." I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me? I don't want to go in there. He sounds like a fucking weirdo."
I know, right?
And you open the door and dude's just naked laying in bed like, "Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm gonna just put the phone back on the hook and go back. I don't get paid enough for any of this shit." But around 10:30 a.m., Roland's phone was off the hook again, and the first bellboy was sent back to fix it. He went up to room 1046 and opened the door. He stumbled upon a horrific sight. In a statement to police, Probe said, quote, "When I entered the room, this man was within 2 feet of the door, on his knees and elbows, holding his head in his hands. I noticed blood on his head. I then turned on the light. I looked around and saw blood on the walls, on the bed, in the bathroom. This frightened me, and I immediately left the room and went downstairs."
Shit.
So it was a fucking bloodbath.
Yep. So, real quick, besides story, just because this made me remember the story a friend of mine from work told me.
Oh, God, okay.
So, you know how a bunch of people usually off themselves in hotel rooms and whatnot, right?
Yeah, I guess that is a genuinely accepted thing that happens. Yes.
Yeah, so apparently this one time him and his family were out and about at a hotel.
Oh, God.
Apparently their parents were in one of the rooms where someone had awesome themselves. And the only way they noticed was because when they looked up at the ceiling, they saw bits and pieces of a person they thought was like part of their head or whatnot. But they first didn't think that was it. At first they thought, oh, maybe it's just like water leak or something. So he came into the room to check it out. Sure enough, there was hair attached there.
How did they not clean that?
I have no fucking idea.
What?
Hell, the service staff didn't even believe them until someone came by and saw it. They're like, oh, okay, I gotta go.
I mean,
then they even show the front desk because the front desk didn't believe them. Took out the picture they sent this survey and was like, oh, that's not that ain't dirt. He's like, no, it's not.
I mean, I don't even think you can blame the hotel because the hotel cleaners don't get paid to clean up body parts, I don't think. That should have been on like the...
Nope, that's usually a specific type of job.
Yeah, that's like the police.
Not the police.
Or like whoever cleans up crime scenes.
Yeah.
Who's that, you know? So, they fucked up.
Yeah.
That's fucked. They didn't do a job. No, they didn't. Just imagine them walking into a fucking blood over, like, oh, man, another one of these. He's like, how about we just scrub the walls and call it good? They're not going to notice that chunk of skull on the ceiling. Roland had a cord tied around his neck, wrists, and ankles. He appeared to have been tortured and strangled. He'd taken many blows to the head and suffered a fractured skull. He'd also been stabbed several times in the chest, leaving him with a punctured lung, as well as bruising on his neck, indicating strangulation. But he wasn't dead upon discovery. Detectives on the scene would question Roland, asking if there was anyone in the room with him. He would answer no, and go on to say, quote, I fell against the bathtub.
Sure, Roland. Sure you did. That's why there's blood everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
And there's a noose around your neck.
We've all had this, where we try to get in the tub, and we slip, and we smash our head against it, and then a knife comes out of the tub, I guess, and stabs our chest.
Oh, yeah, you know the knife you keep next to your nightstand.
Your bath knife.
Yeah, your bath knife. Yes, you can always have a bath knife.
Yes, that stabs you. And then upon being stabbed, you're injected into the bedroom, where you hit your head on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
And then you fall with cord around your neck and your arms and your ankles.
Yep.
Raise your fucking hand if you have it. And you roll around. And you roll around and you squeal like a little piggy. I mean, come on. Are you going to look me dead ass in the eye and tell that hasn't happened to you at least once?
I'm going to look you dead ass in the penis and tell you that hasn't happened once. That hasn't happened once.
That doesn't count.
It does not count.
It does not count if you do not sound.
Wait, what?
What? That's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You think it makes a noise like a slide whistle?
Oh, God, I don't want to know. That's all, folks.
I'm fucking out of here, bitch.
He would completely lose consciousness after and had been taken to the hospital. Their doctors would conclude that the injuries Warner sustained had occurred 6 to 7 hours prior to his discovery. There wasn't a murder weapon left behind at the room. The only thing detectives found were fingerprints left from the room's phone, possibly belonging to an unknown female. And by midnight, Ronald would die in the hospital.
Yeah, so 6 to 7 hours from discovery. That is, I mean, that he'd already been like attacked when both bellboys went in there.
Oh yeah,
which is weird, because like,
what?
I'm trying to wonder, do you think it was Roland that said come in the first time when, like, the door was unlocked? Or do you think that was the attacker? Because I want to say it was Roland. Because, one, like, why after you murder someone would you be like, oh, yeah, yo, come on in, dude. I'm just cleaning my knife up after fucking stabbing the shit out of this guy.
Maybe the attacker was waiting in case someone possibly did come in. And was waiting for another victim that might be unsuspectedly coming into the show.
Maybe. I don't know. If it was Roland, I could see him being like, yo, get in here. Turn the fucking lights on, because my ass has been fucking stabbed.
Yeah, but at the same time, he also did say he just fell. So he was expecting to be found, just wasn't going to tell the truth.
Yeah, and then that really begs the question, why the fuck is he covering up for this?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm hogtied and stabbed, you best believe I'm going to tell who the fuck did it.
Yep, at least before I die. Say, like, damn.
Yeah, fucking hell, dude.
Upon his death, authorities ran into the problem of properly identifying him. When he checked into the hotel, he mentioned he was from L.A., but no records from the Ronald T. Owen could be found anywhere in L.A., and with no one coming forward to claim him, police moved on to the man only known as Don. Roland had been mentioning during his stay in the hotel, but once again, all efforts came up with nothing. And soon it was announced that Roland would be buried in a porter's field. But soon after, the Melody McGillivray funeral home would receive an anonymous call by someone claiming they had the money for Roland to receive a proper funeral to be sent over. On March 23rd, bundled up in the newspaper was the money from an anonymous sender and flowers with a card that read, "Love Forever, Luis," written inside, placed by an unknown person on Ronald's grave.
So that's really weird.
Oh, yeah.
That's like sketch to the max.
So many questions, so little answers.
Literally no answers. So, like, they can't identify him, so they're going to put him in a potter's field. I think I tried to research it. It sounded like it's just a place for basically, like, we're unknown or unclaimed people who have no money.
Yeah.
Get buried, and then upon that, someone calls and is like, "Yo, I got money. Put him in a real grave," which is weird, because why would you do that but not claim to know him? And then I have no fucking idea. I'm just going to be like, I'm going to spoil it for everyone right now. No fucking idea who Louise is. That does not come up at all through the rest of this.
Damn.
Who the fuck is that? Is it made up? I don't fucking know. But yeah,
could be a number of people, a number of things.
It's so fucking weird. This one has so many fucking weird ass questions, dude. So now we'll move on to 1936, when a friend of a woman named Ruby Ogletree read an article on this case in American Weekly, and when Ruby saw the article, she identified Roland T. Owen as her son, Artemis Ogletree. Artemis left home 2 years ago and would have been 17 years old. Ruby had received three letters from Artemis addressed to her, delivered after his death. They were also apparently typed out on a typewriter, something Ruby said he did not know how to do. They were also, quote, slangy and unfamiliar, unquote, Ruby claimed. And unfortunately, that's all we have left as far as any kind of clues or evidence for this case. So I guess now we'll start taking a look at the theories. But, like, it's crazy because I feel like this is one of those ones where it's, like, usually when these kind of things happen, like, the biggest mystery is who was this person?
Yeah.
And then once you figure that out, everything else follows. But we find out who this guy is and then literally doesn't end up any... It's like, okay, nope. We know who he is, but, like, doesn't answer a goddamn question other than that. Because that wasn't even a question to begin with, because everyone's just like, oh, his name's Roland.
Yeah, everyone thought that's his name.
So it's like, what the fuck? Yeah, that's literally it. Like, I think there's still some people working on this, but, like...
Yeah.
So now we'll just start talking about theories. So that's...
Theories.
So, the bare basics of it all is a man only known as Don beat Roland or Artemis to death in room 1046 for reasons unknown. Don would never have been identified, and this motive never known. The other way this may have gone down takes into account the guest who claimed to hear both male and female voice shouting and swearing on the 10th floor the night prior to the murder being discovered, as well as testimony from elevator operator Charles Blotcher, who claimed that on the night before Artemis was found beaten nearly to death, a fancily dressed woman came to the hotel looking for a man she couldn't find who was staying on room 1026. Some speculate she may have been looking for Artemis and got the room numbers mistaken. The elevator operator also claimed to see the woman with another man who was staying on the 9th floor, a man who could have been Don. This may also explain the unknown female prints lifted from Artemis's phone by police. So, I mean, that's like the bare, like, okay, so this happened, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
that one's just simple, like, I guess. But it's still so weird because, like, no one knows who the fuck he was. It's just like, okay, well, this might have happened. Maybe he did trip and fall on his tub.
Maybe. Who knows?
Who the fuck knows? Not me.
But there is one other theory that we honestly think may be the true answer to what happened in this case. Artemis may have been murdered by the Mafia, either through a series of unfortunate events, he pissed off the wrong person and got a hit placed on him, or possibly more likely, he may have been involved in the mob himself and made some sort of
goof-em-up.
Goof-em-up?
Have you heard of a goof-em-up?
No, I heard of goof, and I heard of M and up, But have a goof em up.
I've never seen those three words put in the same proximity before. I'm going to need you to take a step back, sir, because this is some kind of witchy-ass satanic mumbo-jambalaya.
Is that an actual fucking word?
I don't know if it's an actual word, but I've heard it said before, and I just like how it sounds.
Some sort of goof em up. Don possibly being a godfather or a mob man named Don who went with him to the hotel to sort things out. Mm. The odd call Artemis made when the hotel maid was cleaning up in his room may have been called for, "I can't talk right now. Someone's in the room with me." Could have been.
I mean, that would make sense because that's just, I don't know. I mean, like, I could totally see, like, "Hey, yo, you want to go eat?" And be like, "Nah, I already had breakfast."
Yeah.
But I mean, the dude was obviously sitting there waiting for that call.
Yeah.
Had nothing else to fucking do. So, like, oh, and don't forget, the maid we're talking about is Soap Dick.
Why did you have to bring that up again?
I just want to make sure everyone knows we have to keep the continuity. Fuck.
Being taken out by a hitman in the very room, this may also explain the anonymous caller paying for a proper funeral. And if Artemis had a secret lover or an affair with someone he should have also explained the mysterious flowers and car left in his grave.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, even though the mafia feels like such a cop-out theory, yeah, I feel like it actually makes sense in this one. Because this is the 30s, like, mafia was big in the 30s.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was obviously waiting for something or someone there, like, unless he's just, like, weird as fuck. Like, that's just bizarre to just sit in there.
True, true.
Like we said earlier, the whole breakfast thing, like, that sounds like a code for something.
Yeah.
and then the whole fucking paying for his funeral thing. I tried to look into that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I found some things that looks like that's occasionally what, like, a mafia peoples will do.
Okay.
After they put a hit on, or they don't put a hit on someone, but after they kill someone, they'll pay for shit. Like,
yeah,
pay for the funeral or whatever.
Okay.
And then if, you know, maybe he was, you know, sticking his pickle in the wrong... I don't know. What do you stick pickles in? Jars?
Reuben.
Sticking pickle in the wrong Reuben sandwich?
Yes.
Gross.
I mean, pickles go on Reubens, don't they?
Fuck if I don't know if I've ever had a Reuben.
Neither have I, honestly. I work in a store where they make Reubens.
You should know this.
I know, but I don't.
But yeah, like if he was, you know, sleeping with the wrong lady, I feel like that'd be good enough reason for him. I mean, obviously not good enough reason for him to get murdered, but in mafia terms.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be literally the only explanation to who the fuck Louise is.
True.
Like, that doesn't come into play anywhere else.
But unfortunately, this seems to be the one of those unsolved mysteries that will end up never being solved, as the answers become lost to time. So now that's concluded, the murder in room 1046.
Yeah, this one's it's kind of a big deal.
It's a very big deal.
This one's just weird. Like, it's I don't find it creepy.
No, it's not creepy. Or it's, like, not disturbing.
It's just weird as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, if this really was mafia shit, which it kind of feels like, I feel like it's only weird because we have, like, something that it seems like we don't normally have, like, witnesses to this kind of thing. Because this could be totally normal. This could be a totally normal thing that, like, happens within the mafia circles.
Yeah.
You just never really have people reporting on it. But I should have done a little more look into the mafia angle, but seeing how it was just, like, a possible theory and it doesn't really have anything to do with this officially, I didn't. Correct me if I'm wrong. Our email is in the show notes.
It should be.
Yeah, it is.
If not,
HecatesDoorwayPod@gmail.com. But I feel like when a mafia dude, I don't know, do they usually leave a mess when they kill? Or do they clean it up themselves?
From what I've heard, they try and clean it up.
That's what I thought. Like, I doubt they're gonna, like, kill someone and then, like, well, I mean, maybe.
Unless they mean to leave it behind.
Yeah.
Then but, again, it's not like we know what much the Mafia does nowadays.
Yeah, I just, I mean, if they're gonna leave this behind to send some kind of message, obviously the message didn't fucking work because no one fucking knows who this guy was.
So maybe it's just meant to be discovered and forgotten.
It's just so, I don't know, like, I mean, this could have been a serial killer. Dude could have been trying to have a threesome. Turns out they were a killer couple, murdered him and left.
Yeah, true.
Actually, that probably happens a lot. I mean, I could see it. You know, you get like a fucking Paul Bernardo, Carla Homolka thing going on. Except in this case, they murdered a man and not teenage girls.
Yeah, true.
I think that's one we might never cover.
Why not?
Because we would have to talk about how Carla, this Paul's, you know, girlfriend, role-played as her 12-year-old sister for him, and then got her to constantly sit on his lap before drugging her and raping her, and then continued to role-play as her after she died because she choked on her own spit.
Yeah.
I already hate that I had to say that.
Yeah, I can see why. I agree.
And then not to mention the fact that Paul Bernardo is the Scarborough rapist who went on so long. This man did not cover his face. He did not kill the girls he raped. He got in his own car in their view and left. And when they would report this, the cops would just be like, oh, okay. And then when it got narrowed down to Paul, they would just be like, oh, it couldn't be him. He's a good guy. He gave us his DNA. Couldn't be him.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. That's...
So that's probably one we won't cover, because I'm already pissed. God. But look out for when we cover Casey Anthony.
That's right.
Actually, I don't even know if I want to cover that one.
I don't know, we'll see.
We can cover how she's a fucking bitch nowadays.
That too.
Could you imagine killing your daughter and then living on the fame of killing your daughter?
Fucked.
Well, that was room 1046. That was something, wasn't it?
It really was.
Actually, that one was pretty fun. I can't wait for October.
Fuck yeah.
Gabe's so excited he pretended to jerk off. This is how I sound. I sound aggressively.
Alright, thank you all for listening.
Thank you so fucking much.
We appreciate the continuous support.
Yeah, it's been actually pretty cool lately. I've been getting some more and more listens. People are listening.
Oh yeah.
People are leaving weird comments on our YouTube page.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
I'm pretty sure that was a bot.
Probably a bot.
We're on YouTube, by the way.
Somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah. But yeah, nope. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for doing your shit. As always, if you would like to follow us on Twitter, it is at Hecate_podcast.
Yeah.
Mostly just post like updates and stuff. Try to post some fun shit every now and then.
You can talk to us through there or through the email.
Yep.
Or whatnot. You can
email us too if you want to tell us that we were fucking wrong about all of our Mafia facts. I don't know much about the Mafia, so probably got a lot of shit wrong. And I know people are a little too into the Mafia.
Yeah, little, they are.
Have you been on the Mafia subreddit?
Yes.
It's like a fucking jerk off of like basically murderers.
Oh man.
So yeah, we're probably never gonna cover Mafia shit because everyone's gonna get mad that we're gonna make fun of them.
Yep.
But yeah, if you want to donate to the Patreon, that would be sick. It is just patreon.com/Hecate's Doorway. Right now, we still only have one tier. Oh, I just got slapped. Where this bitch over here will give you a tarot reading once a month. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about giving people tarot? Why are you flipping me off?
No reason. Because I don't want to.
Is that just what you're going to send people? Yeah, here's your fucking tarot reading, you fucking idiot.
That'd be fun. Nah.
Nah, it'll be real. He will. I'll make him. I'll keep him locked up and.
Oh, daddy.
No, lock you do another up. Tarot reading or you get the whip.
No, daddy, no. Please, no. I want to play like the other kids. No, daddy, not the whip.
I just want to go outside and play with the kids.
I want to be free.
Let me free.
Why do you sound like Michael Jackson?
That's what Michael Jackson did to the kids.
No. Oh, fuck.
Michael, can you let me out now? No, you got to play the game first. Well, this is going to get us taken down.
Yep. We should want to stop.
Stay tuned for when we cover Michael Jackson.
No. It's not even a mystery what happened to him.
Okay.
The only mystery is why his doctor's still out free and wasn't convicted.
Money.
Yeah, true.
That's not a mystery. Money.
All right. Thank you all for coming by. Good luck. Have a good time.
Hail Satan.
Blessed be. Bye. Goodbye.